Screen Time with John Fardy. This is News Talk.
Hello and welcome to Screen Time. I'm John Fardy and this is News Talk's TV and movie show. This week on the show, Rashida Jones and Tracy Ellis Ross talk to me about their starring role in the new season of Black Mirror and about having very famous musical parents. We review Remy Malek in The Amateur and the new Dublin set thriller Drop. Plus, star of the new mockumentary Fran the Man, Dara Humphries, is here in studio. I'm open on Twitter, John_Fardy, or you can email me screentime@newstalk.com. This show is available as a podcast every Friday at 5 p.m. on newstalk.com or the Newstalk app powered by Go Loud, and it's on the radio every Saturday at 6 p.m. here on Newstalk. Good weekend to you all, and I do hope you're well and you've continued to enjoy the wonderful weather. Now, I got to start with this Minecraft story. We reviewed it last week on the show. Both me and Brian Lloyd gave it 3 stars. And, you know, it's a good kids movie. And really, that's what it is in essence. You know, there isn't a huge amount in it for the adults apart from Jason Momoa, who I thought was hilarious. But it's a great kids movie. And if you love Minecraft, you will love it. But the SH1T has hit the fan, as you may have heard, because cinema chains and owners are kind of complaining about the behaviour of children in the cinema, because there's a particular scene with the chicken jockey where they start shouting and stuff, and generally they're quite raucous when stuff from the game is recognised in the movie. The kids who are going to screenings, particularly in America, it seems, the home of all great things, but in Ireland as well, cinemas have been asking for people to be quiet, asking kids or putting on screenings specifically where kids can let themselves go. I did notice, so I went to see a screening of it on Tuesday night without my own children, but there was plenty of kids in it. This was last week. And then my son went to it with his buddies last Sunday. And there was a lot of excitement. And I did think the cinema staff, who shall remain nameless, seemed kind of irked by the whole presence of all these kids and some of them being quite loud. You see, I'm not saying kids should misbehave in the cinema, but just the fact that kids en masse are going to see something in the cinema kind of makes me happy. And the thing is, I don't think anyone's going to see Minecraft as an adult without children, really. Now, maybe I'm being pejorative and the gamers among you are dying to see it, but I don't know, if you go to see what is ostensibly a kids' movie and it's kind of loud, I'm not sure if you can really complain. See, I have no real thing to guard this against, because I go see most movies on a Thursday or Tuesday morning in the dark with angry middle-aged bald men. So, you know, I'm not telling. But so in terms of this whole controversy, if it is even that, I'm not so sure if we can really complain about kids getting a bit excited in the cinema about Minecraft, to be honest. Plus, it'll be over in a couple of weeks' time. So let's all move on. Now, this week in TV, I was watching this.
What happened was we are upgrading some of our towers. And the ones in Palmer County are on the new bandwidth, which is part of an exciting change to Rivermine service.
What do you mean change?
From Monday, we are introducing Rivermine Plus.
Plus?
A new subscription tier that has extended coverage, okay? So it makes great use of those upgraded towers. I'm going to show you. Stand by.
Good.
Yeah. Here we go. All right, look at this. This is it. As you can see, we will be extending our coverage all over North America.
So we can travel?
Yeah.
Yes, if you upgrade, then absolutely you can travel.
And if we don't?
Then you just stay within your existing coverage range.
So that was Chris O'Dowd and the great Rashida Jones there, and also Tracy Ellis Ross. And that is a clip from the new season of the first episode of the new season of Black Mirror. After 2 years, the award-winning series created by the great Charlie Brooker is back with 6 new episodes, and it includes a sequel to one of the beloved episodes from a few seasons ago, I think the 4th season, the USS Callister. So Black Mirror, most people know what it is, particularly if you listen to this show, but in case you don't know, it's this anthology series. People always compare it to The Twilight Zone. I suppose it is a bit like The Twilight Zone in that it is an anthology, in that every episode is about something completely different. And it's like a short story, a little mini TV or movie short story. They become quite cinematic and they're about an hour or so long. Some of them are nearly an hour and a half and feel like movies, but they are standalone ones that you can drop in and out of. What binds them all together is that they tended to be meditations on technology and the darkness that technology can bring into our lives and the problems that that can bring, and they can get slightly paranormal at times. Some of them have been tremendous TV. Not every episode is as successful as the last one, but how could they be? But they are great watches, and what I love about them is they involve no commitment in an age where, you know, streamers demand we watch episode after episode, and why wouldn't they? But Black Mirror in this era is satisfying in that you watch one and you can move on or not watch anymore. But season 7 is back and it is great so far based on all the episodes. Have I watched them all? No, I've watched 5 of them. Is it 5? I think I've watched 5 of them. The first one is Common People. And in Common People, Rashida Jones has a medical emergency. And then she signs up, along with her husband, who you heard there, Chris O'Dowd, for Rivermind, a high-tech system that will keep her alive at a cost, a financial cost. And I don't really want to say too much more than that. That's what the episode is about. It's a little over an hour, so it's kind of like a mini movie, but it is a great watch. It's kind of dark, but they're all kind of dark. I watched another one called Hotel Reverie about this actress going into an AI movie. I thought it was terrific. So, as I mentioned, Rashida Jones and Chris O'Dowd is in this. You heard Rashida Jones there. Tracy Ellis Ross plays the representative of Rivermind, the person who's trying to sell this treatment, let's just say. Tracy Ellis Ross was in Blackish, American Fiction, The High Note. She is the daughter of Diana Ross. Yes, that Diana Ross. Rashida Jones is a terrific actress that I've been dying to talk to because I saw her years ago, 21 years ago at this stage, in a show called Nylon. I remember watching it, all about a love affair between someone living in New York, someone living in London. She was in Parks and Recreation. She was in The American Office. Brilliant in that. She was in a great Bill Murray movie, well, Sofia Coppola movie opposite Bill Murray called On the Rocks. I think she's a brilliant actress with a great presence. So I got to talk to Rashida Jones and Tracy Ellis Ross about the new season, well, their episode on the new season of Black Mirror on Netflix earlier in the week.
Hi. Hi, John. How are you?
Very well. Rashida, I can give you a first-hand live review. My wife watched this with me 2 nights ago, and you'll be pleased or not to hear, she said she couldn't sleep after it. Uh-huh. Now, I slept like a baby, but she couldn't sleep. So it's
what does that say about you?
Well, let's not get into that. We're here to talk about you. But is that a good reaction, given this is dark stuff, generally Black Mirror, even though there's a lot of heart in it?
It is. I mean, I hate to say like thank you to your wife, but yes, it is. It is a compliment because I think that means it's effective. You know, unfortunately, that's kind of the purpose here of this episode is to make sure you never sleep again. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, mission accomplished for one part of this household.
Sorry. And thank you to her.
And I'm worried about you.
Everybody has joined the queue.
Your soul.
Tracy, it, you know, doesn't take a genius to figure out that the episode might be some kind of metaphor about America's healthcare system, and you pay, you might get saved. If you don't, maybe not. But that's just my take on it. Were you struck by that at all?
No, I wasn't. I'm actually intrigued by what you just said. And I think that's actually one of the things that's so special about Black Mirror is there's so much you can take from each episode and everybody takes something different and it makes you think about a different part of what you're seeing. I was really struck by the greed and the taking on sort of exploiting vulnerability. And then the other piece of it for me was this idea where technology and science and medicine can take us to a place where we don't consider what the repercussions of that might be, of those choices might be, that in the moment they feel like the best choice, the right choice, the of course choice, but we don't think through the larger effect of what that, the repercussions of that for a life. Mm. And I think we're faced with that so much on a daily basis, not around life altering, you know, accidents, but just in life. And so I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Rashida, I was thinking about this earlier. I've been watching you since 2004, not to make you feel old. The first thing I saw you in was Nylon. I remember very well about that doomed romance between an American and a Londoner. And one thing I'm always struck about you as an actress, and maybe every actor and actress has a thing, and yours is calmness. I always think you're a very calm presence on a screen. Have other people commented on that to you before, or am I wrong?
No, I'll take calm because that might not even match my inside. So that's, I'm glad that I'm somehow emanating a sense of calm. I guess dry is sort of like in the neighborhood of calm.
Yeah.
Because I'm like in Nylon, I was flustered. I was like losing my wallet and I was in love and I couldn't make it work. So maybe there, I don't know, that's good to know. Maybe there's something just like deeply calm in my insides that I don't even know that I'm projecting outwards. I'll take it.
Yeah, well, you are. You definitely, and you're right, you were flustered in Nylon. No, I haven't seen it in a while, but you were calm as well. And Tracy, forgive me if people say this to you all the time, but I gather you two guys have been friends for a long time. And I can't help but think the fact that you are both the children of musical geniuses, and I'm delighted to say that because it's absolutely the truth in the form of the now sadly departed Quincy Jones and the very much alive Diana Ross. Is that a binding thing for you, or maybe it's just people like me who think it must be? But is that something that drew you together? Do you think, or is that too Freudian a question?
I think there were quite a few things that drew Rashida and I together. Sure. I mean, I think that is a given. There is a small little club of us. Black Jewish girls who have famous parents.
Musician parents.
Exactly. There's a small little crew of us. But I think Rashida and I have a lot in common.
We do.
We both love lotions and potions and gadgets. I want to backtrack to the question you said before about Rashida being calm. The way I would describe it, and I think this is actually in your personality, is that you're very present.
Oh,
Rashida
so nice.
Has a real sense of presence in her body. So even if you're playing flustered or are flustered, you have this selfhood that I think comes through. And I think that could be interpreted as calm.
So nice.
But yeah, that's
such a, what a huge compliment.
That's what Rashida feels like to me. But yeah, there's a lot. It's an interesting experience, the unique experience that Rashida and I have had, you know, in our lives that not many people have.
Totally. And I think finding our voices and our careers and our friendships and our lives amidst this like extreme long shadow of parents that we love, you know, I think it's a very nice position to be in, but it can be challenging. And I think it's nice to be able to bond about that.
Yeah,
for sure.
And have another safe space.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, listen, it's delightful to talk to you both. The highlight of my week. So,
sweet.
Continued success.
Get your wife a night of sleep.
Yeah. Get
on
her
me.
Some sleep.
She sleeps all the time. Let's not get into that. Thanks, guys.
So funny. Bye.
Ah, yes. Me getting the laugh, said a Tracy Ellis Ross and Rashida Jones there, talking to me about my wife who gave the episode. I think that's a rave review because she couldn't sleep after it. That's how troubling she found it. But to me, that's good TV, you know. And it was great to talk to them. What lovely, lovely ladies. And I did have to bring up their parents there because Rashida Jones is the daughter of Quincy Jones and Tracy Ellis Ross is the daughter of Diana Ross, two musical behemoths. So lovely to talk to them. Black Mirror, I should have mentioned, landed this week on the 10th of April. It's all on Netflix. It is there for your streaming pleasure. Up next, the week's new cinema releases in the company of Niamh O'Reilly. And we have a strange movie called Drop, which was filmed in Dublin. And also Remy Malek trying to do Jason Bourne. Now you're welcome back to Screen Time News Talk's TV and movie show. We turn to the week's new cinema releases in that darkened room where we all like to go. Well, at least the people who listen to this show. Even on summer's days like this, even though we're not in the summer. What on earth am I talking about? Niamh O'Reilly is here to talk about the movies she saw in the cinema this week, which include the new releases of The Amateur and also a fascinating sounding movie called Drop. We did give five lucky winners the chance to go earlier in the week to the premiere of Amateur, which Anne-Marie Kane picked during the week. So Rami Malek is born, Jason Bourne Light, something like that. What's going on? And hello, Niamh, as
and
well.
Hello, how are you? Yeah, he's not quite Jason Bourne now, so hold your horses there.
Okay.
Yeah, so this is actually based on a book from the 1980s by Robert Little, and it was also made into a film before in the 80s, so it's not its first outing being adapted.
Must have been a successful book if they've remade it twice.
Yeah, well, I mean, you will get into that.
Okay.
So yeah, you're right. Rami Malek is the star of this, and he plays a CIA cryptographer. Very good at what he does, but is certainly not Jason Bourne or James Bond.
And a cryptographer is someone who analyzes symbols, or
he's basically a nerd, and he works in the basement of the CIA in Langley, so like minus level minus five. So he wouldn't be someone who goes out on missions or anything like that. So he's a quite a mild mannered guy, quite a reserved guy, but happy. He has a lovely wife, Sarah Heller, played by Rachel Brosnan. And at the start of the film, she heads off to London on a business trip for a conference. They say their goodbyes, and everything is fine. Unfortunately, when she gets there, she gets caught up in a terrorist attack on her hotel and unfortunately dies. Oh. He gets the news, Charlie gets the news, and obviously is very upset. But being that he works for the CIA, he does a bit of digging for himself to find out what actually went on, and convinces his immediate CIA bosses to let him go off and find the people responsible for killing his wife.
And does he become a tough guy?
No, he doesn't. And that's why this film is probably a little bit more interesting than the many other films that have been made that kind of follow this formula. So he's not.
So he follows his brain as opposed to his muscles?
Exactly, yeah. So he's a very smart guy, being, you know, working in cryptology and research and all of that sort of stuff. So he has a particular set of skills, but he's not Liam Neeson. And also he has a very strong set of morals. And as I said, he's kind of a mild-mannered guy. He has a strong sense of right and wrong. And the big question hanging over the film is he a cold-blooded killer? You know, could he come face-to-face with his wife's killer and pull the trigger? Because not everybody can do that.
Yeah.
You know, that is a big leap, even if, you know, you've lost someone in very, very tragic, unfair circumstances.
Yeah. So he's not Charles Bronson from Death Wish. No,
but he certainly tries his best. Okay. And he gets a little bit of training along the way from Lawrence Fishburne, who has a bit of an extended cameo here. And he's playing like a CIA veteran who trains him for a little bit and sort of passes on some knowledge. And also along the way, he has help from our own Katrina Balfe,
yes,
who plays a very good hacker in this. John Bernthal has a really weird cameo.
I love John Bernthal.
He's in it for like a microsecond at the beginning. He's like a proper agent who goes out in the field. And guess what his name is in this?
John?
No, the bear.
Oh, okay.
So I'm
I was close.
The whole thing feels like an elaborate wink, wink, nod, nod to him in the bear. Yeah. It's a very strange cameo. It doesn't really quite fit. But generally speaking, this is quite a good film. And, and it ticks along at a nice pace. And I think the questions, the overarching questions about what is revenge, what is justice, you know, what is the right thing to do? Is it a life for a life? You know, how do you go about doing that when you're not James Bond or Jason Bourne? So it's interesting. And Rami Malek is an interesting choice for this.
Yeah, so I was going to say, is he believable as a more thoughtful kind of possible would-be assassin?
Yeah, he is. And I think he brings a level of kind of introspection, I can't speak today, I haven't had enough coffee, to this. And he's quite thoughtful about it. And you can kind of see the emotion playing on him, you know, after he loses his wife, and then also the decisions that he has to make. So it works well. There's some really good set pieces here. There's one set piece in particular involving a swimming pool in a high rise. I won't go into any more details, but it's very good. And yeah, there's some lovely locations in Madrid and London and Paris. But I felt like the story was a bit rushed.
Okay.
So his transformation and like his training when he spends time with Lawrence Fishburne, they didn't spend enough time kind of investing in that kind of relationship.
Okay.
So that when he pops up later, it's not really earned. His popping up later in the film isn't really earned. And also, his transformation from, you know, cryptographer working in the basement to man out in the field, yeah, it doesn't quite come together in the way that you wanted to, because certain elements, I feel, of the story were just rushed a little bit. So it just lacks a little bit in the execution, but it's still very entertaining.
So it held your interest for the entirety of its 2-hour runtime?
2 hours, yeah.
So what are you going to say stars-wise for The Amateur, which is in cinemas from this Friday, the 11th of April?
I would say 3 stars.
3 stars for The Amateur from Niamh O'Reilly. Let's take a quick clip.
You ever wonder what they do with all the stuff you dig up for them?
That's not my job.
No, but you never wonder?
No, it's the CIA. I gotta trust that they'll make the right call. Maybe it's better not to know.
Love you.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Charlie, I think you need to see this.
What is this?
Your wife has been killed. What you do is very important to what we do. Let us handle this.
I want mission-specific training, cash, and a new identity.
Have you lost your mind?
I want to find and kill the people who murdered my wife.
I don't think you could beat a 90-year-old nun in an arm wrestling match.
I want to face my wife's killers, look them in the eyes, and balance the scales.
That is a clip with Rami Malek front and centre there from The Amateur, which is on general release from this Friday. I'm in studio with Niamh O'Reilly, who's looking at the week's new releases. And next is Drop, not The Drop, because that's a different movie, which I believe was James Gandolfini's last movie.
Film, yeah.
God rest him. Mm-hmm. Now, Drop, which was filmed in Ireland, although it has nothing to do with Ireland whatsoever.
No, but it was filmed in Ireland. I didn't know that going into it.
And could you tell?
Oh my God, yes, we'll get to that.
Okay.
This is from Christopher Landon, who has form in this sort of arena before. He's directed Happy Death Day, Happy Death Day to You, one of the Paranormal Activity films. So he's in this space, and this is also from Blumhouse. So all very good stuff behind the scenes here. And it stars Megan Fahey, who people know from The White Lotus.
Yes, so she's in season 2 in Sicily. If you've seen White Lotus, she's the kind of... She's icy. Is it fair to call her icy?
I have to admit, I haven't even started White Lotus, but I can't wait to dive.
She's great in that.
She's a very likable actress, and she's likable here. So she's playing Violet, and she is a widowed mum to a 5-year-old, and she's preparing to go out on her first date, in a long time. Her ex-husband was not a very nice individual. Okay. He was abusive mentally and physically. So this going out on a first date is a really big thing for her after everything she's been through. Her sister comes along and minds her son Toby for the night, so she doesn't have to worry about any of that. She heads off to her restaurant in the convention centre, can I just say, in Dublin.
Right, and it was very obvious. Like, but it's not set in Ireland.
No, it's not set in Ireland, but it is very obviously the convention centre, and that beautiful bridge is the James Joyce Bridge.
And where is it meant to be?
Well, so what they've done very cleverly is they've CGI'd in all these skyscrapers beside it.
Oh.
So it just looks like...
Any generic American
I think it's meant to be Chicago, but it's like the convention centre with the lights on the front. It's very obvious. So anyway, she goes in there for her meal, and the rest was shot in Ardmore Studios, actually.
Okay.
So she goes in there, waits for her date to arrive, who is played by Brandon Sklenar. I always have trouble saying that. And he plays Henry. You might remember him from It Ends With Us.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and 1923, I think he's also in that. He's a good actor. So he's the date, but he is running late.
Okay.
So she heads to the bar, and she starts getting these digi drops on her phone. So that's a generic term for airdrops.
Yeah.
And they're kind of memes, but they're a little bit menacing, and she doesn't know who they're coming from.
Mm.
Anyway, her date arrives, they go to their table, and more texts arrive on her phone, and they get increasingly more menacing and threatening, and start maybe asking her to do things that she doesn't want to do.
And we obviously don't know who they're from.
No, and the thing with a digi drop is that it has a range of 20 feet, so it has to be somebody in the restaurant. And that's all I'm going to say, because to say any more would spoil it. And you want to know as little as possible about this film.
Case closed. Go see it.
Don't watch the trailer, because it'll be...
Really?
Don't.
Okay.
What I've told you is enough. It should keep your interest.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, That sounds fascinating, and we can't say much more because we really don't want to spoil it. Well, Niamh really doesn't want to. You know, I couldn't care. No, I'm only joking. But is it very affecting?
It's good. It's really entertaining. There's almost sort of vibes of Hitchcockian paranoia mm-hmm. to it. And it was quite reminiscent of a film that we had recently. The one, at Christmas time, the guy was going through the airport.
Oh, Carry On. With Jason Bateman.
A little bit like that, but most reminiscent of Red Eye, from a number of years ago. Yeah, so a woman sort of being coerced into do something that she doesn't want to do in one location. So in that case, it was a plane. In this case, it is the restaurant. So similar vibes to that. And the use of technology in this is great because, I mean, we're all plugged into our phones and we're all very vulnerable with them.
Absolutely.
And our whole lives are on them, you know. And if someone has access to that, they have access to you.
So the phone is a big kind of motif in this.
It is, it is. And there is moments of real tension here. Like my hands were sort of balled up in fists at certain points. So it does bring you along with it. And I think the chemistry from the two leads is so nice in this. It just works really well. Like they're trying to have a really nice date, you know, and there is a lovely quality between the two of them.
I'm really curious to know, is the person sending these horrible means the guy she's on a date with? But obviously that would be far too much to go into. That does sound intriguing.
It is intriguing. It is. And I think, you know, there are some plot holes here, I have to say. And I did clock the person behind it all very early on.
Okay.
But even given that, I think it's entertaining enough and it's a nice tight 90-minute film as well. So there isn't a dull moment in it.
Yeah, I suppose it's kind of a claustrophobic sounding movie, so you wouldn't want it much longer than that.
No, you wouldn't. And it is pretty much all centred in this restaurant and like everyone is a suspect.
Okay.
So,
I like the sound of that. It's so Niamh is talking about Drop there. She doesn't want to give too much away. A Hitchcockian, paranoid, phone-themed drama. Put that on your poster. So what are you going to say stars-wise for Drop?
I really like this. I'm going to say 3.5.
Okay, 3.5.
Yeah.
Veering towards 4, maybe. Not to put words in your mouth.
But not quite. There's a few little plot holes that annoyed me. But other than that.
And that is in cinemas again from this Friday, the 11th of April. In closing, I didn't ask you this before we came on air. Have you or indeed your children seen Minecraft?
I am holding back and holding back even more now because of this whole chicken jockey business and people going bananas.
Yeah.
Like, I'm scared. Have you seen it?
I nearly saw it twice.
Did your kids love it?
Yes.
My
boy was not as impressed as he thought he might be.
No.
And the cinema experience was weird.
Did you have the whole chicken jockey bonanza?
When I went to it, it was a premiere screening.
Okay.
I've already mentioned this in the show, but I'm happy to tell you again, Niamh.
Tell me.
There was plenty of kids at it. And it wasn't too wild because there was a lot of adults. The one my son went to, it was quite wild, it seemed. Now, not crazy, but it was like a live event. It was like a concert.
It is like a live event. And I think they're putting on special screenings now for people to do the whole.
So they can go full
crazy.
Monty. See, I'm used to seeing movies in the dark with angry old men like me at 10 o'clock in the morning.
And no one bats an eyelid in them. Yeah,
exactly. Wonderful. But more importantly, so you haven't seen Minecraft yet?
No, but I will. Yeah. I will have to.
I think you'll have to over the Easter holidays. Yeah, yes. Yeah. But in the meantime, before she makes it that, she has been to see The Amateur, which she gave 3 stars to, and she gave 3.5 stars to the intriguing Drop. Niamh, thanks a million.
Thank you.
Niamh O'Reilly there reviewing Drop, not The Drop, just Drop, because as we mentioned, The Drop is a different movie entirely, starring the late, great James Gandolfini. And The Amateur, that is The Amateur, the definitive article is before Amateur, The Amateur, which is also in cinemas. What's also in cinemas is a new movie called Fran the Man. You like the title? You like the main star even more. He's with me after the break. Now you're welcome back to the last part of Screen Time. Now, opening in cinemas this Friday is Fran the Man, which follows Fran, the assistant manager to an underdog football team who is hoping to drive St. Peter's Celtic to victory in their biggest game yet against Shamrock Rovers. However, when a bribery scandal enters the frame, Fran must act fast to get the team back on track. Based on the hit TV show from a good while ago at this stage called Fran, it stars people like Amy Huberman, Deirdre O'Kane, Ardal O'Hanlon, but the man, the most important man playing Fran himself is Dara Humphreys, and he joins me in corporeal form in studio. Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks, John.
So listen, this was, I'm ashamed to say, but I'm not going to lie to you. I don't remember this TV show. How long ago
That's
was the TV
right.
show?
That's quite all right. The last time it was broadcast yeah. was in the spring of 2011.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and that was two small series?
Exactly, yeah.
So
yeah.
how did it suddenly end up being a movie 10 years later, plus nearly 15 years later?
Primarily because our producer, Colleen McCarthy,
yeah.
Had a not insignificant acting part in the second series.
Right.
So there's no point me telling you that... Frank conspired in a silent, jealous rage to organise for Collie's character to have an anaphylactic fit, right? But if you were a cultish follower
yes.
Of the series...
Which I wasn't. You, no, I should right have been, and I still could that. Be, that's right? I right. still could be.
Exactly.
I could go back and become
exactly.
more retrospective.
Yes, yeah, exactly. So Collie was quite a young man then, fresh out of college, was making a go of it as an actor, moved right. to New York subsequently, discovered a real aptitude for movie production.
Yeah.
So this is his second feature. His first is a Netflix film that was briefly in British cinemas called I Used to Be Famous.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of a light film about neurodivergence
yeah.
and music.
I remember, I interviewed the maker of it, actually.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Very enjoyable film.
Yeah.
As I understand it, Collie always harboured an ambition to revisit it in feature film form.
Yeah.
And he was having those discussions with Richie Conroy, our original creator and writer. He and his pal and brother-in-law, Mark Hodkinson, they're the co-creators of the series.
Right.
Mark had too many other commitments this time around, so Richie wrote the script for the movie by himself. They were meeting in late 2019 to discuss a prospect.
And then you got Stephen Bradley on board yes. to direct
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And was it always a no-brainer for you to reprise the role?
Well, to be honest with you, it was a no-brainer, but outside of my control.
Yeah, okay.
So, of course, I was willing to do it, but I couldn't dictate those terms to anybody.
Absolutely.
You know? And people, you know, you can imagine in the space of 14 years, people's circumstances have changed
yeah.
very much, with the exception of Fran.
Yeah.
His universe hasn't changed all that much at all. It just goes to show you that Collie himself had an affection for the series and an affection
yeah.
for the time that he had spent with us. And so he's paid us back tenfold, twentyfold in his ambition for a film.
It's a mockumentary
yeah.
and they're great crack if you get it right. And you've gotten it right.
Thank you.
So your character, Fran, his life is this club, St. Peter Celtic, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And like, is that something you can relate to? I don't know who you follow or get into any of
yeah,
that.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
That obsession.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, well, absolutely, yeah. I mean, is there anything quite like football that makes very reasonable men become very unreasonable men?
No, that's
I mean,
a good
as I
point.
Understand it, you're an Evertonian, aren't
yes,
you?
Yes, indeed.
Okay.
I bore people with it every
yeah.
week. So at least you brought it up
yeah.
this time. Yeah.
No, but I've been around football all my
yeah.
life.
Yeah.
Really and truly. Like, I had a great uncle, Anthony Fox, who lived till he was 100, and he had a 90-year association with Home Farm. And he was a childhood friend of Peter Farrell,
oh, okay.
who has a record number of appearances for Everton.
Yes,
Peter,
indeed
they
does.
Grew up,
yeah, yeah,
they
yeah.
grew up in and around Dr. Wright's Field in Dalkey,
okay.
where every Good Friday there was a huge kind of festival of football, you
okay.
know, where kids from all that area
yeah, yeah, yeah,
in the
yeah.
1920s would gather. So it was interesting when I saw that you were such a devoted Evertonian.
Let's get back onto you.
Of course.
So yeah. you understand the football
yeah.
obsession.
Yeah.
So the mockumentary style of it is great, as
yeah.
I mentioned. Art O'Hanlon plays the boss, but
yes.
you're really the man running the thing. I presume when Art, because Art O'Hanlon is great, and he just, as are you in it,
thank
but he
you.
Just kind of lights up a screen, and he's always great, no matter what he's in.
Yeah.
Was it a big deal to get him involved?
Yeah, yeah. And I think Richie pushed hard for Ardle's
yeah.
involvement. Richie on so many levels. So Richie Conroy, I know, admires Ardle a great deal
yeah.
from an acting point of view and also from a writing point of view. Richie reads Ardle's materials, you know,
yeah.
Quite diligently and is a fan. And, you know, we all had a mini list or a mini wish list, that's
okay.
what we might be. But I know that Stephen was Richie's absolute go-to as a director
yeah.
because he had heard of him being interviewed about overcoming his illness and
shooting. Yeah.
Cutting and shooting,
yeah, his
promoting
book
his
about,
book,
yeah.
exactly, yeah. And then I know that it was another big coup for Richie, particularly for all of us, but for Richie particularly, because he's admired Ardle for so long.
Yeah.
In the different disciplines.
And then Deirdre O'Kane has a great, I was going to say cameo, but she's in it a lot, playing a travel agent, kind of like a marathon sports person who could get you to the game if you wanted
to. Exactly, yeah.
But there might be something more going on with her. She's terrific in it as well. Amy Huberman, sorry, how could I get her name wrong? But I said, don't want to give a spoiler. I read in some of the coverage, they said she could be your love interest. Maybe there's a whiff
of... That's a bit of a stretch. A very aspirational love interest.
Exactly, a very aspirational love interest. But I thought she did a terrific working class Dublin accent.
She did.
She pulled that off.
Yeah, she did. And she was only...
Because she's a Southsider, and I think it's fair to say that, you know?
Yeah, but there are many working class Dub Southsiders.
That's true. So I say this from a vision coming from the North.
No, I understand that. But I mean, as you know, Sally Noggin is a massive soccer stronghold.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you just know the minute you set foot in it, that wherever... You know, the people who arrived to live in Sallynoggin from the inner suburbs, like, soccer was always going to be the game. It followed it out. You know, they brought it out with them. She did grow up in Cabinteely, quite nearby. And then she was saying in a recent interview that her middle fella is starting to play the beautiful game.
Okay.
And that she has been back to Joey's ever since.
Okay.
For matches. Okay. But no, she's very authentic in the accent. I heard her saying that she's only done that once before where she had to lay it on very thick.
Okay.
And she got it spot.
Yeah, no, she definitely did. And her son playing, you know, soccer is a big deal given her family and her husband's
role in
Irish life. Yes, so fair play to her.
Yeah, well, it just shows you can't force the issue, you know?
No, you certainly can.
You have to make them.
It's like trying to make your kids Everton fans,
exactly.
You know? You run out of space, you know?
Yeah.
And then there's another thing going on. So there's a mockumentary, but there's also this. Now, I don't think it's trying to make a big statement about football corruption necessarily, but there is a bribery thing there. But you have these detectives, particularly Richard Cooper, playing, he wants to be something out of Hill Street Blues. He's terrific.
Isn't he? He's just incredible. He's so subtle.
Yeah.
I mean, he's so talented, as is Tony O'Rourke, but of course, she's the earnest one.
Sorry, that's Richard, his female detective.
Yes, exactly. But Richard is the one who... Well, he gets into movie mode himself, doesn't he?
Like,
the character, never mind Richard. The character is... drawn full value from the cameras that are on him, that are pointed at him. And no, many, many people have commented just how enjoyable his performance is. He's a staple of Irish sports diet, as far as I'm concerned, anyway.
Yeah. And we should mention George Hamilton is in there, a little cameo, Brian Kerr. So this is the best of Irish.
Yeah.
There are no Irish people in this who you don't like, I don't think.
No, of course not. No. You could spend most of the movie picking them out.
And there's a lovely kind of Roy of the Rovers thing in it as well. Listen, you know, people may or may not know who you are, but you have a day job.
I do,
as
indeed.
A teacher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
So how did you balance that with this?
Well, I had to do it first time round as well.
Yeah, of course.
But of course, like, social media was only in its infancy then. So it wasn't quite the same thing. It has survived in cult form. So that's the thing with a cult. You never know when it's going
to... But did you have to take time off work to do this, or did you do it? I don't want to get you into trouble with your boss who's listening.
I'll tell you.
Department of Education.
You're not going to get me into any trouble because I my attempts to do it so clean, right?
So did you take a career break?
I took a 2-year career break.
Okay.
And I spent most of it in my own classroom. So does that give you some idea of how bad this teacher crisis is?
Are you serious?
Yeah, well, there were significant delays in the process, as you can imagine. So it was off the back of COVID.
Right.
There were changes in personnel in Screen Ireland as to who could make decisions. Everybody, believe it or not, was impacted by the Hollywood writer's strike.
Yeah.
That delayed things as well. So decisions were being delayed. And then, of course, you have two major conflicts breaking out. You know, in the Ukraine and Israel and that has affected the distribution
of this film.
Well, it's certainly, not to put too fine a point on it, but no, it has. All of the investors, they have to assess every situation that's going on. And two major conflicts, they're a consideration. So at one stage, I met my vice principal and he said, listen, you can imagine we weren't inundated with applications for your job teaching Irish, right?
So you're an Irish teacher,
in
secondary school, obviously.
Yeah, in Whitehall, in St. Aidan's. And
big shout
Irish
out to St. Aidan's.
Yeah, absolutely. And Irish teachers are like hen's teeth at the moment. Maths and Irish, particularly difficult to recruit. The cost of living, that speaks for itself. So teachers are going in huge numbers elsewhere because quite simply they can't afford. So you have a massive staff churn now, whereas you're just getting to know people and then they're deciding whether they're going to make a move or not. But my vice principal, Oliver Danaher, his very calm, logical measured solution was to say, why don't you come back and teach the classes until it's time to go and make the film? And that way, and I said, but you know, but I'd be back in my own classroom. And he said, well, that should give you an idea about, you know, how serious the crisis is.
Okay. But that's interesting.
But that was him, like calm and logical solution to it. And then that way it meant that I could give them plenty of advance warning and set up somebody to deputize for me.
Very good.
Well, so it was this exact time last year, John, that we finished.
Okay. And I have the full explanation in case anyone was worried if he was missing an absence or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So Fran the Man is in cinemas from the 11th of April. Yeah. The man playing Fran is Dara Humphreys, who's coming to studio with me. So are you, you're still teaching, but you have this career as an actor as well. Is it your... And you, maybe you don't want to say it on radio, but presumably you want to do more acting.
Well, I'd love to do more acting, but you have to be realistic. I mean, you know, I'd like to think that I wasn't complacent the first time round, where I thought I made a television series now, so I'm off to the races and I can do what I like. And I have to be equally sensible this time round as well.
Yeah.
You just don't know. It's just, it's such an unusual pursuit, first and foremost. So I just have to be mindful of that. Of course, I'd like to, but... you have to be realistic about the prospects of it.
Yeah.
I mean, like the same way that you want to be a professional footballer when you're 14, you know, the shop window does the whole bit.
If it's any consolation, you have the presence of an actor and you look like an actor.
Well, that's very kind of you.
No, but you do. There's something of certain actors, you just know they're actors by their weightiness in the room. So you have that.
Could you qualify that? What do you mean by weightiness? Because
there's a presence.
I thought I'd shed a few pounds since I made the film.
Weightness or something like that. There's a presence.
A gravitas, man.
A gravitas, yes. Yes. Lucky I'm not on the radio trying to explain all this to people. So Fran the Man is in cinemas from the 11th of April in cinemas all over the country.
It is, yes, absolutely. Yep.
It stars amongst other people, Richard Cooper, Deirdre O'Kane, the aforementioned Amy Huberman, but most importantly, in the lead and doing a damn fine job of it, Dara Humphreys. Dara, continued success.
Thank you very much indeed, John. You're most welcome.
Are you single, Fran?
Depends which one he is asking.
You know what a manager does, Fran, but what exactly does an assistant manager do?
What don't they do is probably an easier question to answer.
The butcher sliced it!
What's the story of the camera crew?
They're making a movie about me.
A reboot of the 40-year-old version, is it?
Can you bring us back to the first time you met Fran Costello?
We've had a tip-off from Interpol.
They're a team from Cyprus, aren't they?
We need recruits. Shake things up a bit.
Who wants to join St. Peter's?
I am not allowed to join a team.
Says who?
Me ma.
Fran Costello, assistant manager, St. Peter's Celtic.
Jackie Charlton.
Oh, that's mad.
I'm very fond of Fran.
Would you say he's like a son to you?
Oh, God, no.
Whole day is a closed session.
More like a weird nephew.
You heard me, Don. You're not me pitch.
Match fixing is a sophisticated crime. There's a local element, but a huge international component too.
Mafia. The Cosa Nostra. They're all over this.
I throw the club a few grand a year, and then when it comes to the players booking their dirty weekends, they all come to Timna.
Bottom line is there are rotten apples in your team, Fran.
The detectives were adamant that all the main suspects have to play.
What am I doing up there?
You're the suspect, I know.
A clip there from Fran the Man. Before that, you heard me talking to the lovely Dara Humphreys, who we'll be hearing more about as the years go on, and my thanks to him. That is it for this week. Next week on the show, I think I'm talking to Stellan Skarsgård, so about the new series of Andor. So more of that to follow. There's more things coming up. There always is. I won't get into them now, but you know, stay tuned, folks. Saturdays at 6 p.m. here on News Talk. You can download the podcast or stream it. Do whatever it is. Listen to it in some fashion from 5 p.m. on newstalk.com on a Friday or wherever you get your podcast. If you want to get in touch with me at any stage, John_Fardy is my Twitter handle, or you can email me screentime@newstalk.com. All the emails are read, often responded to, so I'd love to hear what you're watching, what you're enjoying in the cinema or on your TV or your box or whatever it is you're watching on. Even if you're watching it on your phone, do let me know. I want to thank Anne-Marie Kane, who helped me on the show this week, and also Rod McAuliffe, who was helping me out this week with various bits and pieces. Squeeze in a little music from the movies, and I'm going to leave with some music from Fran the Man and The Amazing, one of the greatest Irish songs of all time. This is Aslan and Crazy World from Fran the Man. Thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you all next week.
You in this crazy